according to St. Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
As Jesus was passing through a field of grain on the Sabbath, his disciples began to make a path while picking the heads of grain. At this, the Pharisees said to Jesus, "Look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" Jesus said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he was in need and he and his companions were hungry? How he went into the house of God when Abiathar was high priest and ate the bread of offering that only the priest could lawfully eat and shared it with his companions." Then he said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. That is why the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today's Gospel, David's 28th generation grandson, shows us an example that he was following David in his prudential decision that certain things matter to God way more than others. God is not pleased by having his sons starve. God is not pleased by having his soldiers weakened. And even though lots of things are good, like the tradition of the showbread in the temple that would last there for a week as the best offering of grains, and after a week would be replaced by another loaf, and the priests, to make sure that that bread didn't go to waste, would consume it. That was a good tradition, but it wasn't an absolute. And when there were higher goals, when there were higher needs, those would trump. So, when Jesus' disciples were passing through a field of grain, these disciples, whom yesterday the Pharisees were criticizing because they didn't fast, like John the Baptist's disciples or the Pharisees, but they were so hungry that they were ripping off heads of grain and winnowing it in their hands and just having what they could. That was something far higher than the man-made fences around the third commandment. Jesus, in pointing to David, was pointing to something very important that we can ponder. How David sought from within to understand what God's will was, not in a blind legalistic way, but trying to get into the heart of God to be able to prioritize effectively when certain things seem to be in conflict. In today's first reading, we can get to the heart of the vocation story of David, from whom Jesus would descend in the flesh. It's an extraordinary vocation scene that can help us to get to the heart of our own vocation. Samuel was grieving for Saul. It's an interesting thing, even though Samuel would be afraid of Saul, such that he wouldn't want to anoint any of Jesse's sons with Saul's knowing, because he knew exactly that Saul wouldn't always look at things with the mind and the heart of God. He was still grieving at what might have been, but God sent him on his way to anoint Saul's successor. So he did. Went to Jesse's house. And when Eliab was presented, the eldest of Jesse's sons, he said, "Surely the Lord's anointed is here before him." The Lord said something really important in reply. "Do not judge from his appearance or his lofty stature." Remember on Saturday when we had the vocation story of Saul, that it was said he was a handsome man, more handsome than all the sons of Israel. He stood head and shoulders above the people. He was impressive in terms of his stature. The Lord was telling Samuel not to pay attention to appearances. For not as man sees does God see, because he sees the appearance, but the Lord looks into the heart. Eventually the other sons are presented. None of them was the anointed one of the Lord. Finally, the last, because the last is first, often in God's eyes. The Lord does wait. Send for him. And when this ruddy, handsome youth came forward, the Lord said, "There, anoint him, for this is he." And the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon him from that day, even though it would still be quite some time until he would actually take Saul's place. The Lord doesn't judge by appearances. The Lord looks at the heart. And so when he looked at David's heart, what did he see? What were the characteristic traits of David's heart that we can learn from? First, it was a shameless heart. Later we would see that David, even though he had been anointed king, would not be ashamed to dance in front of the ark because he loved God and he would show his exuberant love for the Lord. He would pour things out with regard to what hymns that he would write on the instruments that the Lord had given him the ability to play. He was somebody who knew he couldn't love God enough. It's the first characteristic of his heart. Second was a courageous heart. When everybody else was chicken to go against Goliath of Gad, this little boy, armed with a slingshot and the Lord's anointing, knew that the odds were far on his side. Third, it was a heart that was humble and open to receiving God's mercy. When Samuel had gone to Saul and told him that he had sinned, as we saw yesterday, Saul refused to repent and in fact lied. When the prophet Nathan went to David, we know what his response was. Total, deep contrition that changed the rest of his life. He had a heart receptive to God's forgiving love. And that heart was capable of being transformed so that he himself would be capable of forgiving others. When Saul was hunting him down, and he had the opportunity on at least two occasions to chop off his head with his own sword, the same way he had chopped off Goliath's head with Goliath's sword, he didn't do it. He forgave. He forgave when his son Absalom was seeking his own life. He forgave when Shimei was stoning him from the roadside as Absalom had driven him from the city. David's was a heart that was capable of pumping out the same mercy that had been pumped in. David's heart was ultimately one that was prudent, shepherdly, just like his 28th generation grandsons, somebody who come from the care for the flock and cared for God's people with that same type of courageous sacrificial love. When the Lord chose us, sisters, he wasn't looking at appearances. At least in my case, I could say, thanks be to God, I do not stand head and shoulders above the rest. I don't even have hair. But he saw something. Likewise, when he looked at you, even though a couple of you could be vocation poster photos, the Lord was looking at something far more important on the inside. He was seeing many of these same traits. This capacity to be shameless before human opinion. And even though many others would have been scratching their heads saying, "What are you doing? You've got so much potential in the world. You said that you wished through poverty, chastity, and obedience to unite yourself with true wealth, true freedom, and true love. That when everybody else was focused on their own lives, you were focused on the lives of those whom no one was protecting, no one was praying for, no one was fasting for. You, too, were capable of being courageous and more than once doing what would frighten so many others to do and make that commitment of the rest of your life to God. You were capable of receiving God's merciful love, that you knew you needed it, and you went to receive it over and over again. Capable of forgiving others, because this path is one of great mercy. Capable of maternally shepherding others, more and more to the Good Shepherd. And to be able to prioritize, just like David did when his soldiers were hungry, just like Christ did when the disciples were starving. Today, as we come forward at this Mass, we remember that not only was the Sabbath made for man, but Tuesdays were made for man. And the Lord himself gives us something far greater than showbread. He gives us himself to literally transplant our heart to be able to beat more like his. Remember that great miracle of Lanciano when the histology tests were done in the 1970s, authorized by Pope Paul VI. That miracle, after 1,300 years, was human myocardia, heart wall. We know that the Eucharist is Jesus in his full humanity under these sacramental appearances. But nevertheless, he chose to be discerned as a heart wall in which his blood would beat, that would go together with the blood. And so every time we receive Holy Communion, we can see that that is the fulfillment of what the Lord prophesied in Jeremiah and Ezekiel, taking out our hearts and replacing them with his own. Let's let the Divine Physician do that surgery.